Felt a tug on the line and I didn't pay attention. Spinning way too fast. Before I knew it, I was staring at a 10-pound shiny bass.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Sitting next to me is Mark O'Farrell, and we got to probably talk to him a bit later in the show about some of the exciting stuff he's up to. And we have the Grizz on the line, and he's got some, believe it or not, true stories that he's going to tell us. This is not fisherman's
tales. Keep it up, John.
These are not fishing tales. These are real stories. And he's got pictures and everything. And then we also have Brian Hatch, who is the, I guess he's the man behind AO Coolers, soft-sided cooler. Oh, I got to talk to you about that, Brian, about what I took up to Alaska with us and how I used those.
Oh, perfect.
But it's so exciting. So why don't we, who do we start with? Let's start with the Grizz. Grizz, tell us what
you're doing.
Well,
John, I'm here in the Locana. I went out this morning. And actually, I went fishing for white sea bass, but didn't find them. But by golly, we got into some of the best yellowtail fishing I ever had in my life. Charles, my son, he landed one that I would say the least is 75 pounds, and it might win 80. And all the people here at the dock when we got in wanted pictures with it because they've never seen one so big. And it's one of the biggest ones I've ever seen, if not. And then we caught calico bass, which, you know, we don't kill calico. We release them. And then we caught some big groupers, too. I got a grouper right around 45, 50 pounds and some smaller ones, and we released all of those. But since we got Brian on the line, Brian sent me down some coolers. So I said I'm going to take them down and try them out. First of all, leaving La Paz, which is a 12-hour drive, we put cold drinks in it, not alcoholic beverages, but water mostly, and they kept it cold all the way. We had all the ice. It didn't melt hardly anything. We got it up, and we still got ice. Now, that was yesterday at 5:30 in the morning, and we still got ice right now. And then we caught a couple small yellowtail, and we just gutted them and put them right into the cooler. So, I mean, this thing, these soft coolers, you know, I didn't know much about them, and we don't see them here in Mexico. But I could just throw it in the back of my Suburban. It doesn't take up space. I threw it in the back of the boat. It was in the stern of the boat with ice. We get the water and things we want to drink out of it. Then we just open it up and flip the fish in. It's the damnedest thing you've ever seen, John.
You know, I took two of them to Alaska on the trip we just recently got back from, and if you don't mind, I'm going to say a little bit of a, I don't know if it's politics or what, but first of all, do not ever fly Delta Airlines. I think they call it Delta is an acronym for Do not expect your luggage or whatever it is. But anyway, we left at 11 o'clock. I got to LAX at about 12 o'clock. And thank God I had that cooler with the frozen fish in it. Because, you know, by the time I got it home, you know, which was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, frozen solid.
Yeah, you don't
yeah,
need
not
any extra cooling apparatuses or anything. You just put the fish in there once they're frozen, and it'll stay for hours, and not a problem at all.
No, it'll stay for days. What are you talking about, hours? But anyway, Brian, we'll talk about the coolers in a minute, but let's hear some more from the Grizz about his fish tales.
Well, no, that's about all I got to say, John.
Okay.
The fishing here in La Bocana is absolutely incredible.
Now, Grizz, you say it quickly. It's La Bocana, right? Two words,
uh-huh.
La Bocana. And that
yeah.
is on the Pacific side, about halfway down the Baja Peninsula. Is that about right?
Exactly right.
Okay. And by the way, Grizz,
yeah.
I know that you're affiliated. Where are you sitting right now?
I am sitting in my log cabin about 25 yards from the ocean on the beach.
And if someone would like to go down there and share that adventure, I'm sure we can figure out how to make arrangements for that.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. They've got log cabins here right on the beach. I mean, literally log cabins like you would see up in the mountains.
Wow.
They got great sports boats. I even got a sporting goods store here. I mean, they got everything you could imagine. You know, John, if it gets too windy out there in the blue water or the waves get up, you can go back in the estuaries. Absolutely fantastic fishing in the estuaries, especially fly fishing. But it is catch and release in the estuaries. We're very proud to say that.
Right. Hey, Brian, what do you think? Think we're going to take some of your coolers down there and try them out?
Absolutely. I got no problem going down there. That'd be perfect. Okay. I'll go down there and do some
well,
fishing.
Well, I'll tell you.
I've heard a lot of Grizz about fishing and stuff. I want to see it firsthand, see if he really is a true fisherman.
Trust me. I taught him everything he knows, and he knows how to fish.
Yeah.
Well, we were down in Florida last week. We were at the ICAST show. You guys familiar with the ICAST show?
Oh, of course. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were down there. It's very busy. We revealed one of our new coolers that we just came out with. I'll send you some pictures of it. But
no, send me some coolers.
Yeah. Well, we only have one of them. That's how new it is. We don't even have a bunch of them. We just have one of them. But basically, it's going to be in between a soft cooler and a hard cooler.
Oh.
So it's going to be light like a soft cooler, but it's going to work basically comparable to a rotor molded cooler.
Yeah, well, what I really like about... go ahead.
You know, Brian, sometimes that's the way I am. I'm a hard cooler, but soft.
Right in the middle.
But no, the great thing about the... I took two to Alaska with me. One was a carry-on, and a bigger one that I brought fish back in. But the carry-on, you know, it'll hold probably 40, 50 pounds of fillets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stick it in the overhead bin above you.
Yep.
And you know, it takes up, you know, and on the boat, it, you know, it doesn't slide around. It just kind of doesn't really take up any space. And I'm sure Grizz would,
that's one of the, yeah, that's one of the biggest things. Today is the first time, yesterday is the first time I ever had it in my Suburban. Today was the first time I ever had it in the boat. We set it in the middle of the boat. We started out with it in the bow. We set it up there out of the way. It did not move. Going through the high waves, going out through the mouth, it did not jump. It did not move like my Pelican. But my Pelican, I love them, but they work good, but they are a pain in the butt. They slide all over the damn place. And, I mean, they make noise, and if you hit a wave wrong, they'll slide right and hurt your feet. After we took it to the bow, we started catching some smaller fish we wanted to take home. So we put it in the stern, and it was completely out of the way. It didn't bother anything, and that's the amazing thing. Really.
Yeah, that's what we try to portray to our customers, and that's one of our... you know, kind of slogans that we use, you know, our coolers are not going to scratch up your boat. They're not going to move around on the boat. They're not going to hurt any kids or any adults on the boat. Once you fill it up and you put it on the boat, it basically stays right there. And
Brian,
that's what you need.
Hey, Brian, Mark has a question for you.
Bouncing around and stuff, if there's stuff moving around that can scratch the boat up or hurt the boat or
Brian,
even hurt yourself.
Brian, we've only got about a minute left, but Marco has a question for you.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, we're talking about all these great features, but I think we're all conservation minded here, and we like to catch and release when we can. But if we are going to harvest a fish, I think it's paramount of most importance to take the best quality care of that fish, not let it lay in the sun, curled, get dried out. And I think your coolers are perfect solution for something that can be small, hold a couple bags of ice, and be out of the way while you're fishing.
No. Okay, well,
I got to get one.
Okay, well, we'll work on that.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Anyway, we're going to have to get going. So, Brian, real quickly, how do we find about... it's AO, which originally I guess meant American Outdoor. AO Coolers. Is it AOCoolers.com?
Yep, AOCoolers.com, or West Marine has them in all the West Marine stores, and even Home Depot has them in Home Depot here in Southern California and in Arizona. But any West Marine store has a big variety of our coolers.
Yeah, well, we're going to see if we can get some in Mexico.
And soon you'll be able to buy them in Ace Hardware's all over Mexico.
There you go.
Yep, we're going to go south of the border.
All right, you guys, you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com. If you are still using a plastic hard shell cooler, things have changed for the better. AO coolers are lighter with twice the efficiency of the traditional bulky coolers. AO coolers are the best available soft-sided cooler with 3/4-inch high-density closed cell foam insulation. They will keep ice frozen for 24 hours in hot weather. Easy to carry, less space, it fits product inside for better performance. Go to AOCoolers.com to order or find a retailer. Available at West Marine.
For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Shasta Trinity Recreation Area is breathtakingly beautiful with all amenities, offering the best camping in California. California's largest reservoir, Diamond Valley, is just 90 miles from Los Angeles or San Diego, designed for an incredible fishery. At Silver Falls Lodge in Oregon, no need to rough it. Stunning beauty and first-class accommodations. Whatever your desire, CalParksCO.com has it.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort outdoor footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com. Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Marco Farrell sitting here next to me, and he's so anxious. He's got some exciting stories to tell, but he hasn't had time yet, so we'll get to him. We have Grizz on the line with us that, man, what a story that is. And Grizz, you were at La Bocana, which is a very small town at the mouth of this estuary about halfway down the Baja on the Pacific side, correct?
And yes, I am.
And you were sitting in a log cabin after coming in off the water and apparently had a good day on the lake, on the water.
Yeah, I had a great day. Couldn't got any better.
Okay. Yeah.
Just couldn't. We had the best yellowtail fishing. And yesterday we had some great fly fishing. So we've just had a great time. I got to go back tomorrow. I'm sad about that. But I had a good afternoon fly fishing yesterday, and it couldn't have been any better. My son caught the biggest yellowtail I ever seen in my life.
Hey, Grizz, what kind of reels do you use when you're fly fishing?
You know, I'm having a hard time to think about which one is the best, but I'll be perfectly honest with you, John. I don't go fishing without my Ross reels. Now, we talk about bill fishing. I use a 12-weight to a 13-weight. You talk about fishing the estuaries. I use a 9. And you talk about the trout.
The bass.
I'm using 6. No, for bass, I use an 8.
Okay. Well, actually, as I recall, I don't know if we mentioned that or not, but you hold the IGFA record for the largest grouper on a fly.
Yes, I do. Officially. Yeah. It'll be in the book next year.
And what kind of a reel did you use on that?
I just can't leave the Ross alone. They're so good to me. Ross reels. I love them. I love the drag system. I love palming them. And that's all I fish. I mean, Charles and I went out and caught over 100 fish on Ross reels last night. We caught Corvina. We caught grouper. Oh,
was this in the estuary?
Yeah, in the estuary.
Yeah, okay.
We couldn't throw it today because it was some windy. We wanted to go out in the blue water and fish yellowtail, but it was too windy, so we went trolling instead. But anyway, we caught fish.
Yeah.
But Ross reels is the best. They hold up. I take them everywhere. They're flying with me all the time. In fact, we have permanent Ross reels in my suitcase with rods. In case you never know when you might be able to go fishing, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I always got one in your trunk. Anyway, we do have Bart Lamuth from Ross Reels on the line with us. And, you know, we don't mean to embarrass you, Bart, but apparently you've got a product. Now, you just recently came back from Florida at the ICAST show, which is not open to the general public. It's a trade organization, so that, you know, it's where all the new products come out and all the buyers and manufacturers get together. How did that work out for you?
Worked out really well. And Grizz, thanks for the love, my friend. Always glad to hear it. But yes,
Bert, you've been getting pictures, haven't you?
I have, my friend, and we've been putting them on social, so thanks for that. But we had a real good time at the ICAST and the IFTD portion of it, which is the fly fishing portion of the show. And you're right, John, it's a trade show for our dealers and the media to come. And we were fortunate enough that our Colorado LT, our brand new Click and Paul fly reel, won best of show in IFTD and ICAST for best new fly reel.
Wow. Well, what's different about that?
The reel itself is just super lightweight. It's a mix of classic and modern. When it's the classic style of original fly reels that just had a little tooth and a spring against the gear to slow it down. But also, it's just incredible machining. We joke and call it machining kung fu here at the factory. That our guys came up with just an incredible design.
Oh,
lightweight and strong.
Wow. Actually, Marco just pulled a picture on the computer. Yeah, that is. It's almost like, basically, how would you describe that, Marco?
Minimalist and almost a Celtic design. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's, you know, our tagline with it and our marketing has always been less is more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's it with super ultralight fly rods and, you know, fly rod side of things. Things are getting so lightweight. And guys are actually getting back to things like fiberglass and these for small streams and trout fishing. And we've designed these reels with those folks in mind. And we're seeing not only them, but the folks that are doing more of the traditional fly fishing with graphite rods and on big water that want just a simple, lightweight reel. And this thing is with that beautiful
design. How big does that reel go up with, too, Bert?
Only 5 weight, Grizz. That's as big as we're going to make that sucker. We might do a larger version coming up because, believe it or not, we got some saltwater guys that are light saltwater guys that are wondering if we'll make a big one.
Yeah, here's one of them right here, Bert.
Bart, would you do me a favor and comment a little bit? Now, you know, ever since the movie, you know, what we have talking about came out about 20-some years ago.
Yes, sir.
And kind of the reemergence of fly fishing. But it has continued to grow. And can you make a comment about the difference between the two? And is there starting to be some crossover?
Oh, between conventional and fly?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. You know, it's a lot of the technical aspects in fly rods tend to come from the conventional side. So you see the folks that'll, you know, design both. You see, like, G. Loomis is a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing more and more at ICAST, since we're there with the conventional side, the conventional buyers and the conventional guys coming over into our section to see what's new and see what's going on. But conversely, like our engineer was down there, and he was walking around the conventional side because that's where we get a lot of our ideas for things that will work on our end of the fishing spectrum, as it were.
You mean like drag systems or something, or what?
Or components of drag systems or things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the material stuff that you'll see the conventional side start in the fly side because we're always looking for lighter, stronger, et cetera. And so they'll come kind of knocking on our door a lot of times to see what's going on.
Hmm.
And mark my words, within the next 10 years, you're going to see somebody at a major bass tournament place with fishing with just a fly rod.
You know, it seems to me some months ago we mentioned that. And as far as a tournament, it's, I don't know if it's illegal, but they don't do it. But fly fishing actually can work better than conventional in many times. So what is the ruling? I mean, if you are at a professional bass tournament, can you use a fly rod?
The official ruling is the rod needs to be under 8 foot in length.
Oh, okay.
That is the official standing. So you see bass rods being made,
yeah,
quote unquote bass rods for trout, they're for
right,
fly fishing, that are 7 foot 11 inches long.
Oh. And they don't care what kind of a fly or what, you know, what you throw or what the line is. So you could, as long as it's under 8 feet, you could do that.
Absolutely, and that's, I know there's a couple of guys whose names escape me, of course, at the moment, that are out there and chasing. Oh, Chris Hart, he's one of them. He's one of our former reps. He's chasing it, and that's one of his goals is to, you know, if the time is right in the tournament, he's going to use the long rod and see what he can do to get some fish.
Yeah. Well,
Bird, I have won 3 tournaments, conventional bass tournaments with a fly rod.
There's the boy.
Down here in Mexico.
Are they under 8 feet, Grizz?
No.
But you're in Mexico, no, right? It's all legal.
We don't have that regulation down here in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other thing, too, is that, when you're fly fishing, if you're going for, records or something, they have a whole different set of rules because you can't be under power. And, there's some rules that go with that. But if you're in a bass tournament, I guess whoever catches the biggest fish wins, right?
Well, it's the biggest 3 or 5 fish,
yeah,
the total, all the weight.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
The thing about fly fishing for bass, you can cover 10 times more water than you can with a conventional rod.
Why is that?
Because you make 2 casts, false casts, you double haul, you strip, you pick it up, throw it again, strip, and I can cover 6 inches of water where a conventional will only be able to cover like 2 foot, 2.5 foot.
And he's absolutely right. And there's the advantage, too, is if, let's say, it's particular with topwater, as we've all experienced, that bass comes up and misses the plug, you got to crank that thing right back in to toss it, whereas with a fly rod, you can pick it right back up and lay it right back down on that same spot.
You got that right. You pick it right up and put it right back in his mouth.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's nothing better than fly fishing.
Well, I guarantee you, I've seen it myself where you get conventional fishing. I told a story before, but I think it was up, where was it? The beginning of the Santa Ana River, is there was, we were fly fishing, and the guide, we were catching some fish, and there was a middle-aged guy and his son fishing, and they were there for about 45 minutes, and, they put all kinds of different stuff in the water. Didn't catch nothing. The guide went up there, dropped a fly in, within 10 seconds he had a fish on.
Well, John, well, just to take that back, you remember I just did a television show about fly fishing in the state of Mexico for trout.
Uh-huh.
There was a family there that caught 1 fish in 8 hours, and Charles and I caught 27 fish in 1.5 hour.
Well, that's not to mention, too, fly fishing is a, just making a good cast is very rewarding as well.
Yeah,
you don't
well,
have to catch a fish.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly,
that's part of the fun. Well, fish don't live in ugly places, as Grizz always says. Anyway, Bart, we're going to have to let you go, but
nope,
we're excited about your award and about Roth Reels, and we want to get you back on again and see if we can get more people interested in the sport.
Absolutely. Thanks
well, John,
for having
I just
me.
Got one
Thanks
thing
a lot,
to say.
Guys.
Make it quick.
If anybody wants to fly fish, they got to have a Ross reel. From the smallest to the biggest. They all work.
Yeah. Well,
believe me,
you can find
I know.
RossReels.com. Does that work, Bart?
Yes, sir. That's perfect.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bart.
Thanks Bart.
Chris.
Thank you, John.
Right.
Yes, I would. I'd rather be. I'd rather be. Yes, I would. I'd rather be fishing. I would.
Founded in 1697 as the capital of Las Californias, Loreto is a relaxing small Baja town with an international airport. Beautiful sandy beaches with snorkeling and fishing is available just in front of your resort. Old world charm, hospitality, and you will love the people and moderate climate. The Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Loreto, a luxury resort on the Sea of Cortez, is hosting its first Dorado tournament the end of June. Very affordable, lots of prizes, and world-class fishing. Contact Fish Talk Radio or Villa del Palmar, Loreto, and get your team together. Many other activities are also available. Fly into Loreto and a van will pick you up. Enjoy the great fishing, golf, exploring, water sports, or the spa. The Villa del Palmar will give you the best Baja at surprising value. Enter the first Villa del Palmar Loreto's Dorado Tournament. Stay at the resort or we can recommend many fine accommodations. Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort outdoor footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Yeah, I can catch them shallow, I can catch them deep. Muddy water or the back of the creek. Wind and rain to me, it's all the same. I make a living playing this game.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in the studio, and we have Marco with us that's got, during the break, we were talking about what he was doing the other night. Was it snipe hunting?
Sort of. Sort of.
Anyway, we have Grizz on the line with us, and we have Bart Larmuth from Ross Reels, and he was going to do one segment, but we're having so much fun, we're going to hold him around. Bart, you don't mind, do you?
Not even a little bit, John.
Okay. Now, this is, you know what? Let's go ahead and jump into that grunion.
Yeah. So grunion are a fascinating fish. They've been, they're sometimes hard to find. So they're
impossible to find.
They're impossible to find sometimes. Yeah. So they're kind of in the same class as snipe hunting and submarine races. Most people think it's an excuse for young men to take young ladies down to the beach in the dark. And but last night I was down on the beach and found some silver carpets. I mean, absolute hundreds and thousands of these.
Well, you know, I hear stories about it. Apparently, they come in with the tide and they just swarm the beach. And where you just go out with a bucket and pick them up by your hand and throw them in the bucket, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so we catch them in California. They're only found in California. There is a subpopulation that's found in Baja, but the main population in California, it's only legal to catch them by hand, so you can't even dig holes and try to trap them. They're actually surprisingly fast and hard to catch. All they need
wriggling around on the sand?
Well, they need...
Well, they come out of the water, right? And
right.
Up on the beach?
Right, so they wait for the biggest waves, and they... well, I'll back up. Two times a month from spring to about October, on the two highest tides of the month, they ride at night. At the peak of that high tide, they're going to ride the whitewash in on the dry sand.
Yeah.
The female is going to wiggle her tail down into the sand, so about an inch of her head is popping out. Now, keep in mind, they're about 5 inches 5 inches long, 5 to 8 inches long, and she's going to deposit her eggs, and then the male will wrap around her and do his business, and then they go back into the ocean, and they'll come back 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Now, every wave will deposit a little more sand, a little more sand, a little more sand, and by tomorrow, by the next morning, they'll be 12 to 18 inches deep on the berm, the highest point.
So the eggs will be in there.
Yeah, and that's really nice, moist sand.
Uh-huh.
And it's also protected. You can walk on it, and the weight is distributed, so it's not going to crush them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the fascinating thing. I did a paper on these in college, so that's why I know a little bit about them. They will develop over those 2 weeks, and on the next set of super high tides, when the water dribbles down and then impacts and shakes, those eggs will pop open. So what you can do is you can go down to the beach and dig a kind of a vertical wall of sand, a hole, and you'll see a very thin layer when the grunion are in of grunion eggs. Now, you can take those into a jar, put some water, put them in gently. Put a cap on the jar, and you'll see they're little round fish eggs, like salmon eggs, but tiny.
Mm-hmm.
You shake it, and they pop, and the little fish come out. So it's really fun. But here's really the fascinating part is if that high tide isn't high enough, they can suspend animation for another 2 weeks and pop on the following set of high tides.
Hey, Bart, have you ever cut one on a fly rod?
Absolutely not. I'm with Marco. These things are like snipe. We don't even know where they go once they're not on the beach, it seems like. So
that's actually true.
It'd be fun to try.
Yeah.
They make great bait. And when the grunion are in, the divers and the fishermen know to hit the beach because you're going to have white sea bass in there. You're going to have calicos, sand bass,
following the bait.
And you're going to have halibut. And they are incredible bait for halibut, both live and frozen. They stay on your hook really well, and they really, really do a good number.
So if you go down there with a 5-gallon pail, you fill it half full. And what do you do with them then?
So what we do is we take a milk carton, the square-sided one, and we will lay them in there and then freeze them in water. So they'll be preserved until the next time we go fishing. If we want to eat them, they're delicious eating. They're like a smelt.
Yeah.
They're in the smelt family. You take a pair of scissors, snip the head off, snip down the belly, scrape out the guts, bread them with flour, cornmeal, salt and pepper, and pan fry, and they're, you know, the original fish sticks.
Wow, you never know what you're going to hear on Fish Talk Radio, do you?
Well, I got some good pictures, finally. They're actually really challenging to shoot because, A, they don't like the light, and B, they're typically there in the surf zone, which has a lot of mist, which doesn't work well with flashes. But I did get a couple dozen good pictures, and I'll be posting them up on our Facebook page.
Okay. Great. Well, let's get back to Grizz and Bart and fly fishing and some of the... Bart, earlier in the show, we talked about what you might call people that are kind of crossing over between conventional and fly fishing. And could you kind of continue that conversation a little bit?
Sure. You know, it's once a lot of folks in the conventional side really... feel like they've dialed it in, shall we say. You know, they've kind of got the program down. They want a new challenge in a lot of ways. And fish, you can fish the same body of water you grew up fishing with a bait caster with a fly rod, and it adds a whole new element to it. And that's kind of the appeal in a lot of ways to folks. You've got that zen aspect that, like we're saying, the movie, you know, as we refer to it in the industry, the river runs through it. You know, the folks want to get away from being out and just cranking around on big boats and just kind of be quiet and be a little more with nature, as it were. And so it kind of brings you back that direction as well. So it's nice to be able to have all these different ways to look at it and ways that the two connect.
Well, you know, Bert, the thing about it is once you learn that you go to the store and you buy a lure, you put it on, you throw it out, and you crank it in. It doesn't, that's not a really a challenge. But the moment you take the tail of a squirrel, some chicken feathers, hackles, and you sit down and you tie a fly and you tie something that looks like what the fish are eating, you put it on a fly rod and you finessively throw it in the water so it floats and a fish comes up and eats it, that's all what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
By the way, Bart, we mentioned I was up in Alaska, and for salmon, what seems to work the best is the pink hoochies.
Nice,
and
absolutely.
Somebody sent me some saltwater fly rods. Now, I was cheating because I wasn't using a fly rod, but I tied some of those flies, you know, on the downrigger, and they work better than the hoochies.
And that's what they, you know, that natural material a lot of times just really has an effect. It just comes alive in the water where, you know, I'm never going to complain about how well a stick bait works when you're dragging it through a bass bed. But, you know, there's just something inherently natural about using materials that kind of flow and move in the water, especially where you were for the salmon. You know, looks more like a piece of flesh floating down the stream or gaba eggs or something of that nature. And, you know, it can be just a ton more effective at times. You know, we're not going to get the depth that you can get with conventional tackle, but as far as the action and making things look like...
Well, when you put it on a downrigger, you got all the depth you want.
Yeah, well, then you can. Then you're just fine.
But, and you don't really need a fly rod. But, you know, there's also, you're talking about the rod itself, because of its length and its flexibility. You know, it makes it so much easier to land fish, especially something like a pink salmon that has a very soft mouth. Mm. You know, you can't really put any pressure on it. And a fly rod gives you the ability, you know, to finesse it.
Not only finesse it, but you also, you know, you've got a little bit better leverage as well. So sometimes, even though you've got that protection of that tip moving to keep it soft, you know, in those soft mouths and keep the fly in there, you know, it's you're at an advantage over that fish, and you can play it a little harder without having to work yourself as hard.
Yeah, just let the rod fight the fish. All you have to do is hold on to it.
Exactly right. And it's a pretty neat thing to see for sure.
Okay. We talked about, and again, we want to congratulate you, Ross, on your award at the ICAST show, because that's a big deal. I mean, you've got, I don't know how many hundreds of manufacturers out there, and, you know, the world is changing with technology. Where do you make your rods, or your reels, I mean?
Well, right where I'm sitting, actually. We're in Montrose, Colorado, so the southwest corner of Colorado near Durango and Grand Junction, if those are familiar landmarks for anybody. And we've got about a 25,000 square foot machining facility right here, and we make and source everything in the U.S.
25,000. Wow, that's
it's good size. We got lots of machines running full tilt all the time trying to get these.
Well, about how many rods do you put out in a day or a week or a month?
Reels, John.
Well, it varies on which particular type of reel we're looking at, but on a good week we can produce about 2,000 reels, no problem.
Wow. Wow. And from what I know about Ross is it's they're not the most expensive, but they're high quality. So they are, they're an affordable price range, but you know, they're American made and the quality is unprecedented. So, you know, you may not be paying a lot extra money for the name, or you know what I'm talking about. But
yes,
if you're looking for something that works, and the reason I called you the first time was a friend of mine is a fishing guide, and I asked him about a who should I talk to about fly rods, Jason Grupp. And he says,
Reels, John.
Thank you, Grizz.
You're welcome.
Anyway, he says, well, Ross, of course. Yeah, so it is something that, you know, it's in the affordable range, but any time that you buy a piece of equipment, if you buy the right stuff, you're going to have it forever. If you pay too little for it and it doesn't work, then you wasted your money.
That's it, and that's the we're still seeing reels come in. You know, we've been in business for 40 years.
Okay.
That they've been handed, you know, like say, handed right. down to, hey, okay. That was my son's first reel, and that there was grandson's
go.
First reel.
Okay. Well, anyway, go to rossreels.com. Grizz, we appreciate having you on, and we're going to get some people to go to La Bocana, and then, of course, we've got some stuff coming up. We've got Marco in the studio with us. We appreciate you tuning into Fish Talk Radio. Please go to fishtalkradio.com.